Two and a Half Men, an MCU Shadowhunters fic, written by Sivan325 and read by C. Welsh. This fic is rated teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply, with relationships Steve Rogers, Tony Stark, and Magnus Bane, Alec Lightwood. Additional tags include alternate universe, canon compliant, crossover, physically de-aged Bucky Barnes, immortal husbands Magnus Bane, Alec Lightwood, found family, ambiguous open ending, this is a series about de-aged Bucky, and domestic fluff. Summary. Do you mind telling me why I have kid Bucky in my apartment? Steve asked. Tony looked at him, noticing how the man looked exhausted. Bucky? A kid? Are you out of your mind? How many kids do you know who have a metal arm and long hair? Touché. Author notes. I don't own either Shadowhunters or MCU. Thank you to Endless Twanted for beta reading. Thanks to my pod figure. If it wasn't for them, the idea may be still stuck in my mind and not see the world, lol. Chapter 1. Any idea how he got here? Steve questioned. He was tired, and all he wanted at the moment was to sleep. I have no idea. All I got was this message. Tony showed Steve the message.
Found your kid in the streets. We are dropping him at the address he asked for.
Nat sent it? Steve questioned. Well, it was Peggy and Nat collaborating with Hawkeye and Sam who sent the message. While I assumed that Peggy and Nat were bringing him to your house. They seem to be enjoying themselves because I have children around the world, Tony replied and then added. This is what they left with the kid. Steve chuckled at the apron. Number one dad.
Well, you do have a name for yourself as a gigolo. They weren't wrong there, Steve said as he eyed the Iron Man.
I can watch over him when you sleep. We can try to fix what happened later. Tony suggested. Steve nodded and headed toward his bedroom. Tony sighed heavily before trying to figure out where a kid could hide in Steve's apartment, which lacked furniture. Even the house didn't feel at home to Tony, not the same as the Stark building felt to him as he reached his home. It took a while until Tony found Bucky and took him to bed. Luckily, the kid was sleeping, and the Iron Man didn't know how tired he was until he took the kid in bed and only rested his head. The next morning, Steve watched from the doorframe as both Bucky and Tony slept, and Steve felt something. Bucky woke up, which caused Tony to fall to the floor, and Steve couldn't help it as he laughed.
That's not funny, Tony said as he got up, noticing how handsome Steve was when he was laughing, and he added, okay, maybe a little bit.
Come on, brush your teeth, both of you, and then let me treat you to making breakfast, Steve said, catching the kid's attention.
I want pancakes with chocolate,
Bucky said with excitement as he jumped.
First brush your teeth, kiddo. Steve walked toward him and ruffled the kid's hair.
Okay, Dad, Bucky mumbled. Steve could feel a tear leaving his eyes. He didn't expect to hear it and now intended to hear more of it.
What do you want to eat, Tony? Any special food? Steve asked.
I bet there is a talented chef hidden beneath your Captain America persona, and I can't wait to eat whatever you make, Tony said with a grin, which only made Steve blush.
But you never taste my food.
I aim to change that. Now that we have a kid, I want to know you better, if you allow me, Tony suggested, feeling the heat in his cheeks. He knew he was blushing, it felt good, and he wanted to stay that way.
Steve nodded, seeming relieved to know that Tony was currently single.
We have a special kid, Steve said with a smile on his face.
I brush my teeth, Dad, Bucky said, hugging Steve's legs. Are the pancakes ready? Can I eat now?
I can see that, son. Why don't you help me make it? Steve ruffled the boy's hair.
Can I?
Bucky jumped with excitement as Steve led him toward the kitchen.
Yes, you can, son, Steve replied, enjoying hearing the kid laughing as they walked together.
Tony stepped outside the bathroom, feeling refreshed, dressed in the same clothes he wore the previous day. He hoped to get back to Stark Tower to change his clothes, but until then he entered the kitchen, smelling the sweet odour, hearing the kid laughing, knowing that eventually they would need to figure out how to make Bucky normal again, and hoping that the kid wouldn't show any tantrums towards them. After breakfast, which put the kid in high spirits, Steve wondered what else they could do to pass the time. During the next couple of weeks, they got to know each other more. Steve found out that Tony loved to show his affection toward him with kisses. It felt good to him, and Steve enjoyed it too. The couple found themselves chuckling every time that they kissed, and while Bucky always made a face and said, "Aww," he smiled at them. The peak of their time together was when the Avengers chat suggested taking little Bucky to some kind of show that would be exciting for him. Hawkeye wrote in the group chat that he last took his family to Ocean Odyssey, something about a Natural Geographic event, I believe. "Oh, I haven't seen that show," Steve said, chuckling as the boy said that he wanted to see sharks and whales. "Good, I've got tickets for us," Tony said, smiling. And then he added, "And it's sort of going to be our first date. Nervous?" "Yes. Besides, what could go wrong?" "You're kidding, right?" Tony asked, staring at the bouncing kid who was covered with maple syrup all over him. "I better take this one to shower. Start planning where we should go next," Steve told Tony while taking Bucky straight to the bathroom. Tony and Steve held Bucky's hands as they walked through Central Park. Then, they tried to keep him from running away and kept him closer as they entered the National Geographic Encounter Building looking for the Ocean Odyssey exhibition. Tony stared with admiration as Steve saw all the mammal creatures. Steve headed with excitement toward the exhibit, the same as Bucky did. Even the underwater creatures were an amazing adventure for the family of three. They walked through a maze, couple and son having a good time as they were trying not to get lost in the maze, and were proud that their son wasn't scared and wanted to know and see new things as they walked deeper, discovering new species of fish. "Daddy, look, a shark!" Bucky called as he pointed over at the tanks and the shark appeared. "I won't let the shark eat you, son. You are ours," Tony told him softly, earning a soft smile from Steve. Tony felt at the top of the world. Finally, the void in his heart was filled with the family he always wanted. Bucky squealed when he saw another sea creature in front of him. When Bucky didn't know what the creature was, Steve or Tony came to his aid and explained it to him. The joy that Steve saw in his son's blue eyes brought him over the moon. It filled Steve's heart with the love he had for him. As they walked and saw more creatures, Bucky stopped, pointed toward a figure wearing black, and another that looked like a goth to them. "Bucky, what's wrong?" Steve knelt by his side. "That's the meanie man who made me like this," Bucky pointed toward the goth man. Tony exchanged glances with Steve, aware that they were the only people who could see them. The one wearing black with runes covering his body, and the goth wearing makeup. They even noticed the kid standing next to the pair. "We better follow them and have a talk, but you need to behave, Bucky," Steve said, taking Buck's hand in his while Tony followed the route the family of four made, walking away from the show, and in the blink of an eye, they lost them in the alley. Chapter 2. "Where are they? Do you know them?" Steve questioned, but neither said anything. "I've got something," Tony called with excitement. "When did you have the time? I didn't see that you brought your suit," Steve said to him. "I didn't, but I kind of brought Jarvis with me, and my AI found something." "Good thing you brought Jarvis along the way," Steve said, smiling. Tony guided them toward a house that Jarvis pointed out.
and it felt to them like they were walking into a maze and trying to find the way out, or at least finding the ones who turned Bookie into Mini Bookie. Magnus, Alec and their two sons, Max and Raphael, got back to their house. "Papa, who was the kid with the metal hand? And why did he accuse you?" Max asked, and his dad braced him with a comforting hug. "That kid hurt your dad. He was a man before, and I had to teach him a lesson. I love your dad, and I don't want anyone to hurt him," Magnus explained to his son, ruffling his hair.
"I will fight the kid if he hurts any of you," Raphael said.
"I love you so much," Magnus said, tears of happiness falling from his eyes. Exchanging glances with his husband, he saw he was alone, crying of happiness. "I love you too, Munchkin. I'm lucky to have you as my family. I'm lucky to have you in my life," Alec said, feeling heartwarmed inside. The door was opened and the Lightwood Bane family were surprised to see the kid with the metal arm walking toward them, and he wasn't alone. "Where did you come from?" Magnus asked, not knowing how they found out where they lived.
"The door," Tony replied sarcastically.
"That's the meanie man that turned me," Bookie called, pointing toward the goth.
"Can you turn him back?" Steve asked.
"He, that thing, insulted my husband," Magnus replied, glaring at them, his cat eyes flashing.
"How can you see us? You are not downworlders and obviously not shadow hunters," Alec pointed out.
"You know what they say. All legends are true, and we are legends," Tony said as Steve backed him up, adding,
"We are the good guys here."
They heard meowing voices and Bookie noticed the cat.
"He took my cat."
"No, he didn't.
This cat has grey fur. Your cat is white," Steve corrected him.
"So it's not my cat?" Bookie asked.
"It's not. Your cat is at Stark Tower. We found Alpine in the street, purring. You were the one that found her. Tony's AI is watching the cat right now. It won't let her stray again. His AI is the best. After all, it brought us here," Steve told him, complimenting Tony, who felt his cheeks heat by it.
"But what about that cat?" Bookie asked, pointing toward another cat.
"This is also my cat, Chairman Meow," Magnus replied, trying to stay calm. Something about the man kid brought a negative vibe to him that he couldn't shake off.
"What is needed to get him back to himself?" Tony questioned. And then he added, remembering that no one had exchanged introductions, "Who are you? And how can we see you?"
"Dad, he looks like Captain America," Raphael said with excitement, pointing towards Steve.
"Raph, it's not nice to point toward people," Alec told him softly, as he observed the man, noticing how similar his features were to the movies they had seen.
"You are right, he is Captain America."
"It's America's ass, Papa,"
Max called.
"Language," Steve called right away.
"I'm Magnus Bane, a warlock downworlder, and this is my husband, Alexander Lightwood, a shadow hunter. These marvellous kids are Max and Raph," Magnus introduced his family.
"Your kid's skin is blue," Tony mentioned.
"Yes, he is a warlock, and Raph is a shadow hunter, just like his dad," Magnus added with a grin.
"I'm Captain America, but you can call me Steve, and this is my," Steve said sheepishly. "I'm his boyfriend. It's still quite new to us. Tony Stark, known as Iron Man," Tony completed, after noticing Steve was struggling.
"What does it take to..." Steve started, but was cut off by the warlock.
"To change him back and be less hostile toward my family?" Magnus asked.
"Yes. Is there something we can do?" Steve asked.
"Can he give us an autograph, or could we have a whole day with the Avengers?" Raphael asked his dads as his little brother joined him.
"Please?" Max asked, puppy eyes towards their dads.
"As long as we join you," Magnus replied to them, and then stared at Captain America.
"I believe I could add some spells to your suits or shield." Magnus felt a tug on his pants, and as he looked down, he saw the kid that insulted his husband.
"Can you turn me back, mister? I'm sorry I insulted him."
"You should tell my husband you are sorry, not me."
Little Bucky walked a bit toward the man in black, raised his head and said, "I'm sorry I hurt you. I don't know what happened to me to get to this situation." "Before I turn you to your biggest self, I better change the clothes you're wearing so they won't be tight on you," Magnus suggested.
"Thank you, Mr. Warlock," Bucky said.
Bucky could feel tingles touching his skin as the magic surrounded his body, providing new clothes that drowned his legs and hands under the long sleeves. Then, Bucky felt lightheaded, closing his eyes, and nausea came with the magic, and when he opened his eyes again, he was back to his old self.
"I'll let you know where and when we can meet again for the kids. It'll probably take place in Stark Tower, and when? It will be after I schedule a meeting with the Avengers, but let me know if you want someone special from outer space there too," Steve said, as he noticed how the kids were excited, while the man in black didn't seem to know what they were talking about.
"Dad, don't you remember the movie Papa showed us?"
"I think I should see it again, or rather meet them face to face," Alec replied to Raf as he rubbed his hair.
"This is my contact number. Add it to your phone and we could make it magical," Tony said and gave him his card.
"We'll do that," Magnus said.
Once they were out of the door, Bucky said,
"Finally, I missed being myself."
"I also cherish the great time I had with you. It was the best time."
"Thank you."
Steve hugged his friend and Tony joined the hug.
"It was," Steve confirmed.
"I better be going and see how Alpine is doing," Bucky said.
"Alpine is in the Stark Tower," Steve pointed out.
"I'll see you there," Bucky said and hurried over, leaving the lovebirds behind him.
"I'm going to miss him being a kid. I felt whole having you as a partner and having a kid to raise," Steve said, watching as Bucky walked away.
"It was amazing," Tony agreed, kissing his partner. They walked together, holding hands, towards the Stark Tower and toward the sunset. Tony and Steve missed Bucky as a kid and wished to have him longer like that, even though they missed their friend as a full-size man. Little did they know that their wish might come sooner than that. The end.
Reader notes. As I said at the start, this was recorded for Pod Together 2024. Pod Together is a wonderful fest where writers and podfickers are grouped together, so there's a lot more interaction than you'd usually get when making a podfic, because the writers know that they are writing for it specifically to be recorded in an audio format, and the podfickers can get more feedback than you might necessarily get from your writer. It's a lot cooler and more fun than I made it sound there. Anyway, there's going to be lots of other wonderful fics coming out of this. I haven't heard any yet because it's before reveals, but I know that they're going to be fabulous because they always are. You can find the collection where all of the great Pod Together works are by going back to the AO3 page where you downloaded this fic. And while you're there, why don't you leave some comments and kudos, particularly for the author? Thanks to Sivan325 for writing this. It was so much fun to do a little DH Bucky, and it was fun to, do both MCU and Shadowhunters, and I just had a lot of fun with it. Thank you as well to the mods of Pod Together for putting on a wonderful fest, as they do every time. They're really excellent. And thank you to you for listening to this. And again, if you enjoyed this, please leave comments and kudos back on the original work. Thanks for listening.